All right, hello and welcome everyone. I know we've got lots more people in this group, so my hunch is that we'll have some people joining us as we move forward. This presentation will be uploaded into our membership site as well. So anyone that's not able to view the live version is absolutely going to have access to it moving forward. So awesome. All right, so April, I'm really excited to meet you finally.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and so this is a special bonus class for the Six Figure Biz Academy, and so it's kind of a soup to nuts, practice building. Everyone here is very, very well educated in terms of their craft, so focused on building nutrition businesses, right, as practitioners. So yeah, so I'm really excited to have you with me and with this awesome group. So I'll tell you what, April, I'm just going to hand it on over. I'm going to have you introduce and just take it away.
Okay, awesome. And I wanted to kind of leave this kind of open and conversational just because I know that I can spew a bunch of tips and whatnot, but I want to make sure that I'm also being as helpful as I can to what you guys need. So I'll start by introducing myself. My name is April Schluter, and I'm a get it done coach. I run a company called The Cheerful Mind, which has been in existence for about 5 years. I'm also the co-founder of a community called the Accountability Success Circle, and I am basically all about just helping people accomplish goals in their life that are going to make them more happy, more satisfied, and feel more successful. So, with that, what I kind of specialize in is kind of the productivity space and trying to help people get things done. A lot of times, the people that I work with are, super ambitious and have a lot of things that are spinning. I myself am probably my toughest client with two kids who are still relatively young, but starting to transition into that teenage phase. And, running a business and just kind of trying to also keep my household and my family and keeping connections and all of the things that we do, it can be definitely overwhelming. I wrote a book about work-life balance because that was something that a few years ago I was like, I really want to master this thing. What is that about? And in a nutshell, what I realized as I was doing research and talking to a lot of people is that, there's a lot of perceptions about what balance should be. And, there are even some people out there that don't believe it doesn't exist or that, they don't want to use the word balance because it's like we have to keep everything, on an even keel, and that doesn't seem to be realistic. And really, what I focus on when it comes to the term work-life balance is that, we define what that balance is and we work toward creating that. So, just like success should be something that we define and success looks different for everyone, so does balance. And so, it's really, really important to really understand what it is that you want to create with that balance, and then focus all of your energy on that. So, as I understand, all of you guys have your own practices, and running these things is definitely, productivity becomes something that we need to instill for ourselves because we run the show. And for people who, have their 9-to-5 jobs or are working for somebody else, they already have that structure. And while it's awesome to have all of this freedom to run things the way that we want, we have to set the boundaries. And a lot of times we can let those boundaries go either because we're really excited about an idea and we just want to run with it. And a lot of times we leave ourselves not with that space to recuperate and take time for self-care. And I'm sure that you guys know this as people who are trying to support people on their health journeys and whatnot, really making sure that people are focusing on the things that really matter and making sure that they've got the great foundation for whatever it is that they're doing. So what I try to do is help people. I have an engineering background by trade, so I think about things. While I am a coach, I really think about things in a very strategic way. And I acknowledge that not all, It's not a one size fits all model. So I really work on customizing, a lifestyle for somebody who, might have a lot of spinning hats and how to make that all kind of streamline and feel a little bit more easy because, it's hard to juggle sometimes. And we want to make sure that we feel good about what we're doing, but also not feeling like we're completely always slowing down, but also making a little bit of time for slowing down to make sure that we can feel that balance. And so I don't know if Leslie, you want me to just talk for most of, or if we want to make this interactive at all, because I would definitely be curious to hear from any of you in terms of what you're most interested in hearing during the call today before I go, just to make sure that I hit those points. But I want to share some of like the foundational tips that I know help make this whole balancing act a little bit easier, and then I can answer some questions at the end if people have specific situations, because I know that, everybody's got different lives, and so
Yeah, I mean, interaction is awesome. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. So,
Awesome.
yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if we all want to talk, or if some of you want to share. I'd just be really curious to hear what you guys are most excited or most interested in hearing about today, or how I can best support you. And if there's a certain challenge when it comes to this idea of getting things done or trying to juggle all of the things, that is a current challenge for you, so that I can make sure that I mention and offer some tips on that. If anyone wants to go. Hi,
I will chime in.
Jennifer.
Hello. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
I think I'm hoping that you cover kind of some concrete pieces of organizing the day and work, or just talking about how to optimize the flow of the day between the different tasks, because I'm definitely one of those people that will go off on a tangent because it's more interesting. But I have a secondary one, and it's a way that I have maybe, I guess, compartmentalized clients. So I totally gravitate towards the engineers as clients because they're going to come in with a spreadsheet all done up, and it all goes boom, 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 boom. And then I kind of have called it but I'm attracted to the opposite, which I call my artist types. But that's this where they really, really, really struggle to either focus or create structure. And I'm just curious and interested in how you've encountered that and how you've kind of helped guide them or, coach them. Because I know it's not a natural thing for me.
Yeah, you can't give them a spreadsheet and be like, do this, this, this. They're not
Yeah,
going
and
to.
I've honestly had people go like, I've never created a checklist in my life. And I'm like, how do you get out of bed every day?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I kind of scan the gamut. I get the people who are super focused and they've got their structured day, and then there's other people that are like, I need to go with the flow. And so I definitely can talk about that a little bit, because I think that's where the challenge is. There's a lot of productivity experts that are out there that are like, here is this model and just follow this. But and it might work really, really well for some people, but others might need some other options and they might rebel against too much structure. So you have to kind of understand who your client is and how they work to give them some strategies. So I can definitely offer a couple ideas. Awesome. Does anybody else want to share? Okay. I will, if at any point you guys want have a question, either feel free to drop it in the chat and I'll make sure to read it for the people who are catching this on the recording, or if you want to chime in at any point, feel free to interrupt me. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to share is that, you know, there's always a basis and a foundation of anything and everything we do. And I'm going to share a handful of tips that that might just serve as a reminder. I don't think that any of this is, you know, groundbreaking, that you may have never heard it before. So I just ask that you come at this with an open mind, because sometimes you might hear things that you already know, but might look at it from a different perspective. I do that all the time. And just be open-minded to how you can look at some of these tips. And I will somewhat breeze through them, because I know that some of the meat comes in that customized situation, just like Jennifer was sharing, where, you know, there are people who, yeah, okay, we've got these tips, but how can we actually implement them? And that is usually where I see people start to lose it. So they take this stuff and they're like, they read all the books and they're like, okay, I know what I need to do. But when it comes to actually executing, they can't put that into place. And so making sure that you understand the foundation, but moving forward after that, then really taking it and putting it into practice is where I find my sweet spot, which is why I like to leave a lot of interaction, because sometimes it's not a one size fits all, but you can also learn from other people's experiences and what they're going through, and see how you can apply them to yourself. So first and foremost, one of the most important things that you have to think about, and this might also be stuff that you you work with your clients, is that, you know, as I mentioned before, when you're trying to create balance or create success or create anything, it's up to you to define that. So it's really, really important that you lead with intention and that you have some sense of where you would like to go. And it doesn't need to be like, I want to, you know, make this amount of money and I want to, you know, have this number of clients and have everything super detailed. It can be super detailed, but it could also be driven on, you know, this is the way that I want to feel. This is, or have some sort of, you know, event or milestone that you want to work toward. So in terms of trying to create that, as much detail as you can give, the better. But even if you're not really quite sure how it looks, you can also ask yourself, how do I want to feel at the end of this? Or what is it that I'm working towards? So that you have some sort of compass towards what you're working toward, right? Because we don't always know, you know, if we want to go somewhere, we don't really know how we're going to, we can't really figure out the how unless we know what our end result is. A lot of times I'll tell people that when it comes to, you know, creating plans, I look at it more from the perspective of not just looking at, you know, what is your goal, but also thinking about what's happening in all the different areas of your life. Because sometimes we might tend to say, okay, I want to do this, but then we have all of these other projects that are happening in other areas of our life, or things that are happening in our family, or things that are happening in health that may change the trajectory or how fast we can accomplish that goal. So what I usually do with people, and this is kind of a longer range thing, is I try to help people plan some sort of a one-year plan so that they know what they would like to accomplish at the one-year mark. And so I ask somebody, you know, let's say we're planning the calendar year 2021. I do a visioning where I say, okay, let's pretend that you and I are at a New Year's Eve party and we're having some, you know, some cocktails and catching up because we hadn't seen each other the entire year. And I want to pretend that, you know, we're having this conversation and just kind of recapping what happened in that year 2021. Just use that as an example. And so we talk as if we're catching our friend up on this concept of here's what I've accomplished, and trying to use all the different areas of life, saying, you know, oh, my son turned 12 and he started a new school, and, you know, he was bumped up into the honors class for his math class, and he also got accepted into the summer program, and it was really, really awesome. And we went traveling to, we went traveling to Asia. And so trying to say some of these things to put yourself in the shoes of yourself a year from now, to think about what would come up in that. And you can say, you know, I had this awesome new business initiative that really brought in a whole bunch of clients, and I was also able to start this completely new, online summit, or, you know, whatever that looks like. You can just start talking those things through, and that will help you lead with intention. So that's just an example. But, you know, first and foremost, we always need to know where we want to be at the end game. And we don't want it to think too far because so much can happen, right? Even with this year, I did an annual plan and then COVID happened and I had to make some pivots. So just making sure that you have at least an idea of where you'd like to go and use that to create plans later, which I'll talk about in one of my later tips. The second thing, and this is, you know, very fundamental to the coaching industry, and but I try to drill it home as much as possible because I feel like it not only makes our lives easier knowing these, but it's a really great time saver for people who really want to get a lot done, and that's just understanding your values. And Leslie, I can share a sheet with your community if you'd like. I have a couple that I can share that are based on these things. Values are, and it's funny because I didn't really know what my values were or go through any values exercise until I was 35, and realizing that, you know, it's always great to know what's important to you, but it also helps you in your business and, you know, in your personal life. One, when you know your values, you know, it's a really great way to make more efficient decisions. So for example, my values are fun, accomplishment, connection, and authenticity. So whenever I'm trying to make a decision on something, and a lot of times we can get stuck in this idea of indecision, you know, we've got all of these ideas and we don't know which way we want to go because all of them sound good. You can use your values to do the gut check. So a lot of times when I'm going to collaborate with somebody or I'm thinking about, you know, where we want to travel to next, I have to ask, you know, is this going to be fun for me? A lot of times, you know, I've said no to so many opportunities that just I felt like either, you know, people wanted to collaborate to use, you know, use my connections and it wasn't a you know, a two-way thing and that doesn't feel fun for me. So it was easy for me to say no. Connection, is it something that allows me to work with people? Because I know myself in the fact that, you know, if I'm sitting behind a desk and I'm just typing away and not interacting with people, it's just not as fun for me, going back to my other value. Accomplishment, I want to have something to show for at the end. So when I wrote my book, I was like, you know, I can, you know, take my story and package it in this nice little thing, and at the very end, I'll have something to show for, and if, you know, people want to learn about it or, you know, learn from it, then that's great. That's another added bonus. And then the last thing is, am I allowed to be my authentic self? If I feel like I have to change who I am in order to make it work, I don't necessarily want to, I don't necessarily want to do it. So a quick story on that. So last year I had this opportunity to apply or audition for a game show that was going to be on ABC, and I've never been on TV, and you know, it's not necessarily something that I am chasing or want to, but it was just a great opportunity that I couldn't turn down. I just applied and I made it through all of these 9 rounds of interviews and whatnot. And at the very end, they were doing like a test video for the network, and they had me fill out this questionnaire. And then when I filled out the questionnaire, they wanted me to change all my answers to fit what would, you know, make the show. And they really wanted to cast me, but they didn't like my answers, like, apparently. And I was just saying, you know, I really want to give back to community. And, you know, they wanted me to say something more like, I want to spend the winnings to take my husband on a second honeymoon and stuff like that. And that just wasn't me. And I was really showing through when they were doing the videotaping of this. And I was like, yeah, I would love to go to, you know, Bora Bora with my husband. And I could not be fake. And so needless to say, I didn't make it on the show, but I wasn't willing to sacrifice who I was, and I was fine with it because I couldn't be my authentic self. So, you know, a really great way to make decisions very quickly is to know what your values are. So if you value freedom and you're taking on a project that's going to limit you, you might not want to go down that road with that project. Or, you know, if you have a client who, you know, is difficult and, you know, doesn't know how to communicate, and communication is a value of yours, or transparency is a value of yours when you're partnering with somebody, you might want to keep those in mind as you make those decisions, and it will actually like save you some time because you can run it through those values and then decide much quicker than if like, well, I'm not really sure. Here's all of these options. So there's that. Is there any questions or anything? I'm just going to double check because I can talk us up a storm. So the third thing, which is tied to the first tip that I shared about, you know, defining your own success or defining what balance is or leading with intention, is to have the ability to create a plan that is flexible. Especially with COVID, you know, I think a lot of times we might create a plan, and the people who really like to plan, they will plan things to a T and really define the how. And then when something unexpected happens, you're forced to pivot. And, you know, if you're somebody who's kind of sensitive and doesn't like to change, that can be really stressful, and that can add unneeded stress when those unexpected things happen. And a lot of times we have this idea of what we think should happen when we're creating something. And sometimes if we stay too rigid and we don't break away from the mold or be open to see where our creativity takes us, we might end up, being too stuck on a certain outcome and then feeling defeated when it doesn't come out the way that we intended. And so with every solution having, or every problem having so many different solutions, you want to make sure that you build in that flexibility and just also know that you can be open to other things that might arise, because sometimes those things can be wonderful that you weren't anticipating, and they might just show up without you even asking. But if you plan with too much rigor, then you're almost outlining the path for yourself before you even get a chance to let that, some of that creativity sink in. So give yourself that ability to pivot, but then also making sure that you have some milestones and that you are able to chunk down the steps along the way. The fourth tip that I want to share is making sure, and this is kind of where the execution becomes important. Once you have your plans, to increase your productivity, it's really, really important to instill good habits and boundaries. I think a lot of times if you're somebody who is very, very giving like me, and you know, a potential client comes in, you're like, okay, I'll talk to you at like 8 o'clock at night with 2 hours prep time because you want to service that client and be there for them. But then, you know, also, if you've got a family, I don't know how many of you are parents, sometimes those people who have young kids, you can't really even set that many boundaries because your young child won't let you. And as they get older and they're more self-sustainable, you can start to create more structure. But having specific habits in place where you kind of go on autopilot will help you think less about what you need to do and allow you to take that action. And then boundaries, making sure you're saying yes to the things that are in alignment with your priorities and values and saying no to the things that don't is super important. And I think, you know, also these decision or these habits will also help increase decision efficiency. And then finally, the last piece is making sure that because you are, you know, running your own private practice, that you have the appropriate accountability structures in place. Accountability is super important for some of the things that we know that we need to do but aren't excited about. You know, one of the things that I procrastinate as much as possible and then get really stressed out about is doing my bills for my business on a monthly basis or doing it on time. I absolutely hate it. And, you know, like I just had my credit card statements just came in the mail and I'm like, I have to do them, but I'll tend to say, oh, I'm going to do this other thing first because it's easier, or here's this other thing because it's urgent. And you know, there's going to be things that are going to come up on a whim, and they're going to be urgent, and you're going to need to push things aside, which is why that flexibility is really important. But sometimes there are going to be deadlines that you're going to need to make sure that you put in place. And so, you know, if that involves having a really solid calendaring and to-do list system, just so that you have things organized and, you know, set to where you need to go. Or, you know, there might be some other structures that might help you push to get certain things done. So, you know, a lot of times I think, you know, when I first started my business, I hired a business coach because I said, you know, I could potentially try to research all of this and do it on my own or take an online course, but I need somebody to be checking in on me. So people might invest in an online course, but they might need that one-on-one touch or that interaction with other people to see that other people are doing things. So they might like a community to help motivate them to move. And maybe it's just setting time deadlines and saying, okay, you know, I'm gonna send out this newsletter. I'm gonna do it on Tuesday at 11. I need to figure out when that's gonna happen, and that's what needs to happen. Or people might, you know, invest money in a certain thing, hoping that that might get them to move as well. So you have to be really understanding of what your own motivators are. Some people want to make sure things are fun. So I try to gamify certain tasks that I think are boring. So one time my business partner and I was procrastinating on something for like 3 months, and it was getting out of hand. And I said, I need to just take care of this. It was like 80 blog posts that I needed to, you know, upload onto a system and whatnot. And he's like, all right, let's make a deal. He made me write him a check for a dollar amount that was, you know, painful enough, to a charity that I didn't necessarily want to support. And basically, if I didn't do it in a certain deadline, he would mail the check to that organization. And so that had a time sensitivity. He gave me 10 days to complete whatever I needed to do. I had to pay money, so that was going to hurt because I was like, oh, this is not even where I want my money to go. So if I want my money back, or if I want him to rip up the check, I need to do this. And then he was also checking in on me, and he was that personal accountability. So I had all three structures in place to get it done. He gave me 10 days, I did it in 4, and he sent me a picture of the ripped up check, but I got it done, and I was procrastinating for 3 months. So understanding that we have to really know what motivates us to get things done. And sometimes they can be drastic, or we can do something simple, like reward ourselves. Like, okay, I've been procrastinating on my bills, so I'm not going to allow myself to get a manicure or something like that, or do this self-care thing, or I'm not going to go on vacation until this thing gets done, however drastic you need it to be. And then you can kind of reward yourself for a job well done afterwards. So you either have to use the fear motivation or the excitement motivation, but making sure that you have the appropriate accountability structures in place will help you get things done and faster. So those are my foundational tips. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments or questions? And then I'm going to kind of go back and talk a little bit about, you know, understanding how to deal with people who have different motivational structures in place. But any questions? Give me a minute. I just like stare at everyone. All right. And if you do have more questions. Oh,
this is Kara. I'm so sorry. I was trying to unmute myself, but I was
okay, no problem.
Having some problems anyway, because I'm taking notes as I listen to you.
Yeah.
You're awesome. So I just wanted to kind of go over number 3.
Yeah.
A little bit. That seems to be my difficulty. I don't know about anybody else on the call. Mm-hmm. I'm not rigid. I'm almost overly flexible.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, and so I keep getting stuck with the direction, because I have a couple of directions that I really enjoy, and I feel like I'm too flexible, which is hindering my success.
Yeah.
So any tips on how to narrow that down? I mean, I have my, you know, what's important to me, and like some of those other things, you know, you said really resonated, and I feel like I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on number 3.
Yeah. And it is interesting because, you know, one of the downsides of, you know, having like too much flexibility is that like you know, you have too many options and then you don't take any action at all, right?
Well, I think I do take all the actions, but I'm just too far spread, so I don't focus.
Yeah. And so do you feel like you're like moving?
I'm not really getting, I'm getting some, a little bit of somewhere in three different directions, but I just don't seem to be getting to where I want to be because I feel like I need to go in one direction and I'm going in three directions.
Yeah.
So I'm working triply hard and I'm not feeling the fruits of the labor.
Yeah. And that's hard when you want to, you know, you want to manifest multiple things at the same time, but then, you know, one of the things that I always say, and it was a very hard lesson for me to realize because I am somebody who loves to dip my hands in 50,000 things at the same time. And, you know, then I would look at other people and they're, you know, killing it in their business or they're, you know, they're doing something. And I'm like, I'm moving so slow. But it was like, I, you know, there was, I think back in 2016, I was doing an online summit. I was writing a book. I was, it was my first year of like really launching my business. And I was doing all of that at the same time. And I was like, I don't even have energy to like, you know, sell and get clients and like, oh, I want to do this collaboration and I want to do all those things. And I was just trying to slam everything into the point where I felt like I was almost burning out. And it took me another few years to realize like, I need to put all my eggs in one basket because yes, you can do all the things, but you have to adjust your expectation to know that you're going to move, you know, everything's going to progress slower because you are, you're more spread. And so when you're trying to figure out, you know, what is that direction, I think it does go back to, you know, what is it that you ultimately want? So if I can use an example in my own life, just because I don't, that's the, all I have right now. You know, I had the choice of like, do I want to really go and find a lot more private clients? Do I want to start a group program? Do I want to write a book? Do I want to, you know, what comes first? And, you know, aside from the fact that like I tried to do it all and then I burned myself out, you know, in this more recent time, I was thinking, you know, do I want to, you know, spend my time, you know, connecting one-on-one and potentially getting more paying clients to drive more revenue? Or do I really want to create a solid foundation for what it is that I want to do? And over the last year, I decided that, you know, yes, I'm still going to be working with private clients, but what's really more important to me is really getting, you know, higher visibility on what it is that I'm doing. So I have put all my eggs into, you know, growing this community. And the community that I had prior to, you know, prior to December, like I was basically trying to get private clients, I was trying to get people in my group, and I was trying to do all this other stuff, all these other projects. And I decided I'm gonna focus on the community. And because I was only getting like 20 people and it was like a revolving door, and I was like, I really want to grow this bigger, and then I can, you know, focus on upselling later. And money is not a big issue for me. If money was a big issue for me at the time, I would focus on the private clients because I know that that would bring in more money faster and I would have to talk to less people. Whereas if I'm doing a community, you know, I might have to let in a whole bunch of people in for free to at least get some traction. And so once I did that, our community went from our like 15 to 20 to 300 within the span of like 2 months. And we're in a much better place now. And then now I can start working on, you know, the upsells and, you know, getting people in, you know, higher tiers of this community. And because the money wasn't an issue for me, I was able to, you know, put that on the back burner. But I still had clients coming in and just getting in with referrals and just being open to that, you know, happening, but then really, really focusing. So, and then when COVID happened, I was like, okay, I can't, there's a lot of other things that I had in my plan that I wanted to do that I can't do now because I have to stay at home. So what is there that's also in my plan that I can focus on right now until we can get back out in the world? So a lot of, you know, further growing my community was focused on me going out and networking with people outdoors. And, but I was also personally burnt out by just being on Zoom calls all day, every day. So I had to just kind of let the growth of my community just kind of sit for a little bit. And then I focused on my family because my family always comes first and making sure that my kids were, you know, having them home and my husband home and everybody at home working was exhausting. And so I had to say, okay, I'm going to put this to the side. So I would say with all of the things that you're working on, take a look at what the biggest upside is for each of those items. And, you might want to go in spurts. And if you want to do all of them, then just either shift your expectation that they just may not grow as fast because you're trying to do two things at once, right? And your attention and your energy just has to be split, but you don't want to, you know, sacrifice your sanity by like trying to push at 100% in both of them, right? And if they're too tied together, then, you know, maybe you just have to shift that expectation. But if you can kind of see, like, you know, I don't know what your situation, if you're willing to share, you know, what you're working on, what you're trying to figure out, do I need to focus more? You know, if that situation was similar to, you know, what I was sharing, where it's like, you know, do you want to go the private client round or do you want to start your own, you know, group coaching program? Is that going to give you what you want? Because if you can put all of your energy into that, you'll probably see more growth and more quickly if you focus on one thing. And it's hard for people who really like to do multiple things at once. But when you get to the point where you're seeing like everything's moving a lot slower, it's just harder. You know, some people can write a book in a few months and go through that editing process afterwards. And, you know, for others, it might take them a long time to get that book out into the world. But if you just want to like get it out and get it done, because then it can, you know, feed some of the other things, then you can focus on that. So it's kind of, you have to play with what you've got going on, or shift your expectations on whether they're going to grow faster or slower. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, it all makes super sense. I just, yeah, you know, need to pick a direction.
And yeah. Do you want to share? I mean, I wonder.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Bula
sure,
says that she has the same issue. So it might
well,
be.
Well, I guess the biggest issue with me is that I do see private clients, but not my, I don't prefer that. I really prefer, I do a lot of group stuff and I do a lot of charitable work with groups and non-charitable work with groups. And that brings me joy and happy, like, you know, what's important to you. Like for example, today I did a Zoom call cooking demonstration with a group, with a camp, and they, it was virtual camp and they're mentally handicapped children. And it's just a camp and every day they go on and, you know, one day they do trivia, one day they just have all these different activities. And one of my girlfriends was involved in it and she said, hey, would you want to do a cooking demonstration for these kids? And I was like, as soon as I heard it, it didn't matter if I had no, like a thousand other things to do. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I did it and it was today actually. And I had the best day. Because I did it and they were so into it and so excited and so innocent and beautiful questions. And it, you know, it brings me a lot of success, nothing financially related, obviously. And a lot of this group stuff, I do clean eating programs, which everybody knows because I've talked about them and I love them. You know, the volume isn't that high. I don't make a ton of money out of it, but people love it and they really enjoy it. And I get a lot of self-fulfillment from it. Yeah. But I keep saying, oh, I got to see these one-to-ones because this is where the money is. And honestly, I need to make money. I'm not like at a situation where I can keep living this way. So I do it. And sometimes I get gratification from it. I really, really do. Because some clients are great, just like you said, like the engineer type or the artist type. Mm-hmm. But when I get a lot of very high maintenance, difficult, challenging people, and I give my all, they burn me out. And I know that about myself. And so I keep saying, like, that's not the way I should be going, because it's too heavy for me, because I get so enmeshed in them. And I want to just help them. And sometimes I want to help them more than when they want to help themselves. So
yeah.
I just say, Kara, you're better with groups. It's just less heavy for you.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And then, then I started doing corporate work because it's group related and it's more steady. I'm like, oh, Kara, that's what you need to do. The corporate nutrition. Yeah. So I really think that that's the direction I want to go. But I've spent so much time and energy building that community with the clean eating stuff that it's starting to grow. I don't want to let it go, but I want to go after these corporate stuff. And I'm just sitting here going, what am I doing? You know what I mean? I have all these, what do you do statements? And they're like different.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't know, what do I do?
So the group, the community group, there's a community that you grow that has kind of been growing, but you want to let it go, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't want to let it go, but I'm just wondering, like, I haven't been super successful financially in that space, and maybe it's just the lack of time. I don't really know, but yeah. I see, what I see in the corporate space is it is lucrative.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
But I'm not in it yet. Like, I don't have that list. I don't have the people. Yeah. So I'd have to go in that direction.
Yeah.
And number two, it's group. And I know that's my space. Like, that's my thing. I'm good at groups. People like what I have to say, and that resonates with them, and I can connect with them, and it's not as heavy. Like, they don't tell me all their problems all the time. So, I like it. And so I'm like, oh, that's where I need to go. But then I spend so much time with my, you know, doing my, I do every Tuesday and Thursday, I do live videos on Instagram or Facebook. I write newsletters. I'm like doing so much stuff that I love, but I'm not making the money. That's my rub. It's like, I'm doing stuff I love, but I can't live like this forever. So I'm like, I got to go to the corporate space.
For sure. So it sounds like, so corporate is kind of where you want to kind of move toward for the lucrative side of things. And it kind of gives you also the group.
Correct.
I think also you were mentioning that you have some, you know, private clients that you've had who have drained all of your energy. So one of the things that I would think about on that is, you know, those draining one-on-one clients, like, they're, it's probably not worth whatever money that they're paying for you to deal with their BS, right? And if there's some way that before they come through the door, that you can kind of get a sense of, you know, is this person going to be high maintenance? And am I, you know, because it, even though, yes, they're giving you money and that feels good to receive the money, like, there's no, like, dollar amount worth dealing with somebody who's going to just, like, drain all of your energy that
you can't
put towards other people. So if there's a way that, you know, moving forward, you can kind of vet the people who are, you know, who are coming in private client wise and that they're really interested, you know, if there's some sort of like form or some sort of like questionnaire or the series of questions that you can put them through to get a sense of if they're really into it. And just even tell them, like, you know, this is a partnership and, you know, we're going to work together, you know, set that expectation. You might be able to, like, you know.
You're absolutely right. And actually with Leslie's class, I've learned a lot about that, exactly what you said. I used to just take whatever came my way because I just wanted to make some money. And now I'm finally, I've said no like 3 or 4 times already, and it feels so darn good to say no.
Yeah. And just remember, when
I just know that they're not a good fit for me.
Yeah.
And I just normally would say yes, because I'm like, I got to take what I can get, you know, right now. And then hopefully eventually I could say no. But I finally was just like, gosh, Kara, you just got to say no. Because
And just also remember that when you're saying no to these clients that don't light you up, you're saying yes to more time to focus on shifting to corporate. If that's really what you want.
Not feeling guilty about not making the money. That's what I just have to.
Exactly.
Get past the money piece is really.
And also, you know, there's also thoughts in, you know, how often do you need to do social media, or can you delegate it, or, you know, how often do you need to send newsletters? Because I've played around with that a lot too. I used to post every day on social media, and, you know, after a while I was like, I'm not really getting anything from this. Yes, people remember me, but, like, is it even worth what I'm paying my assistant to post social media for me? Like, what if I just stopped, you know? And then I stopped, and then I still got clients. So I knew that was a strategy that just was a waste of my time. Just think about, like, how can you be more powerful with the things that you're doing so that you can make more time for the things that you really need to focus on, which, if that transition to corporate is your end game, yes, you can still kind of hold on. It might take a while to make that transition, but really start thinking about, okay, what is, you know, making me upset? Like, let's get rid of that, because that's more draining than you putting energy into the things that you enjoy that make no money, or, you know, the things that will be lucrative and make you money. So I know that's like a hard gamble, because
it's super helpful. Listening to what people say is always helpful, because it's like you said, you know these things, but sometimes you just
yeah.
have to hear them, and then something like resonates in your head and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do like the accountability thing, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
I've taken a lot of time, so thank you.
I'm going to go back to Jennifer's question in the beginning. So she was talking about, you know, sharing concrete pieces of organizing your day and work. So one of the things that, and this doesn't work for everybody, but this is kind of a strategy that you can do if you are like want to create a schedule for yourself. You know, I think it's really, really important to at least know, like, have an ideal time of when you want to wake up and when you want to go to bed, because when you throw your rhythms off, it really will adjust and change your energy as you go. So as an example, I try to wake up every day, even though, you know, my kids are on summer break and there's no camps and there's no nothing. I try to get up by 7:30 so that I have time to do whatever it is that I want to do before I wake up my kids an hour earlier, and then they get their day through and we all have some sort of schedule. So a lot of times, you know, we think about how long things take, and sometimes we'll say like, oh yeah, you know, I'll take a shower and I'll get ready, and then I'll get started on my day, and then all of a sudden 3 hours have passed and you're like, wait, what just happened? So I'm at a place, so my kids right now are 9 and 11, and so I couldn't do this when they were younger. So if you have young kids, don't do this. But I would sit and say like, okay, if I want to be in bed, or at least laying down in bed by like 10:30, 11, you know, and I want to be up by, you know, 7 o'clock. And you know, in that time, that's when I sleep and whatnot. I need to understand like what my bedtime routine is, what my morning routine is. And I would time it. I would say, you know, from brushing my teeth and getting out of bed and just going through that process, like what really makes sense. And you know, once I have that, then I can then start seeing what, you know, how to fit in certain things. So, you know, making sure that you set boundaries around, you know, what hours of the day that you're going to make, you know, appointments with clients, you know, what's sacred family time, all of those things. I basically have gotten to the point where I'm very granular and have all of the things in my calendar so that I can see where my pockets are, for free time. And it sometimes doesn't look pretty, and I'd be afraid to show it to you, but I have things like, I need to drive to this place. Like, I have all of those things in there, because a lot of times we'll say, okay, I've got to go to this appointment, but then I've got to get back to a client, and then you're rushing, and then you're showing up to the call, and you're kind of frazzled, and you just don't feel at peace. But you want to try to create as much buffer and say, like, realistically, I have this half hour appointment, but it takes, you know, 30 minutes to get there and 30 minutes to get back. So I'm going to put 45 minutes on each side so that, you know, if something comes up, I can, you know, I'm not like running and rushing for the rest of the day. Because if you start that early in the day, then it just creates this spiral as you go later in the day. So just making sure that you have a place to manage a calendar. I always tell people, you know, have one calendar. Some people like to have a personal and a work, which is also fine, but you have to then have defined work hours and then be able to transition to your home calendar afterwards. And having one place where all of your to-dos are, because I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but I had to ban post-it notes from my office. Because otherwise then I have like a stack of post-it notes of like things that I have to do, and then they just stack up, and then they're not organized. So I will like create to-dos either in my calendar right there, then and there, and figure out to schedule when I'm going to do it. Or, you know, I have one central place where I have to-do lists and I try to consolidate that. That alone can take up so much time. So you should probably be going into obviously your email, your calendar, and then your to-do list, and then using all the other ways of modes of communication and things that you have to do, just having a way to kind of funnel all of that. So trying to keep those things clean as much as possible. I struggle with my email all the time, because there are days that I'm on top of it, and then days that I let it go, and then I'm like, ugh, I have so many emails and I need time to check that. But if you can get into a system where you're doing a little bit each day, then it doesn't seem so daunting, and you stay out of that overwhelm position. And then in terms of you know, making sure that you make time for lunch and all that. I have lunch and dinner and breakfast, and it's not always, you know, to the T what time it is, but I can at least see how much I can visually see. I'm a very visual person. I can see, you know, I have an extra half hour here, so that might be my time to breathe, or do I want to slam my day and not have anything? And then I always, this is my own personal preference, but I am a vegetable pretty much for the entire weekend. I basically put things that I didn't complete in the weekend, but I never do it. And then I deal with it on Monday to decide what is it that I'm going to, you know, when is it that I'm going to get caught up on some of these things that I didn't complete the week before. I also do have a regular practice every Friday to kind of look at the next 2 weeks and what deliverables I have. You know, so 2 weeks ago when I saw this, I was like, oh, I need to spend some time, you know, writing down what it is that I want to talk about for this call. So, you know, and I did that 2 weeks ahead of time, but every Friday I'll just take a look at my calendar and just make sure that, you know, things are in place, or if there's an appointment that needs to be moved because there's a conflict, I can change that. But I try to, as much as possible, get things in some sort of recurring habit so I don't have to think about it. And then lastly, on the comment about, you know, how do you deal with people who, you know, can motivate themselves to create structure versus people who don't want to have structure. So I use this in the same sense of, you know, parents who have newborns or kids under three, where they're like, this kid, like, they're potty training and they're wetting the bed and I have to wake up and I'm exhausted, and, you know, or they get sick and I have to pick them up from school, or, you know, they're crying all night and, you know, this, that, or the other. It's really, really hard to create structure, just like for people who are very artistic and want that creativity. So there's a lot of different tactics. And Jennifer, if you have a client that you're like, this, none of these strategies work, like, let's brainstorm, feel free to reach out to me at any time, because I love trying to, you know, figure out different things. But, you know, first and foremost, understand what's important to them. So if they say, you know, freedom, or, you know, it's, you know, being in flow, or, you know, that's important to them, it's very hard to create some sort of structure for them. But also, you know, creating really small bits of structure by saying, you know, if it's either project based, for say, you know, you want to create this thing, but you want to do it, and, you know, what would make it fun for you to set this deadline? And, or is there something that they're already doing that you can kind of loop into what they're creating, or, you know, what they need to focus on, so that they're also, you know, attending to, you know, whatever else is important to them, or they're kind of multitasking things. So if I can give you an example, because it's so hard, because all these people who are, you know, kind of rebellious to structure, sometimes they want, you know, they want to create a structure on their own, but it's not a structure that you think would necessarily be productive, but it's, you know, it seems to be productive for them. But to then really drill into, you know, what it is that they want to accomplish, and then, you know, if they're looking to you for structure, I would almost say bring it down to, you know, what is it that you want to accomplish, if you're, you know, talking with them on a weekly basis, or, you know, do they need to break it down by day or week or month to say, you know, what is it that you want to accomplish, and hold them accountable to that. But, you know, leverage, you know, without creating structure for them, giving them guidance in terms of, you know, making sure that they're shuffling through and asking them those kind of like prodding questions to just kind of like herd them as they're going through their process, but giving them that time to have their creative moments. So if they don't want to hold to a calendar, give them, you know, like, what is it that you want to accomplish this week? And, you know, make sure that they have all of the pieces of whatever it is that they need to get there, and then just let them go. Because a lot of times those artistic people, like, if they have too much structure, they will completely just not move at all. So empower them to help you create a structure if they don't want to, but also break it down to something super simple, because they won't want to put down, you know, 45 minutes for their morning routine. They're just going to, you know, wake up when they wake up and go to bed when they go to bed. And, but at the core of what it is that they want, they're going to know what they want, and to say, okay, so what is it that they need to do? And a lot of times they'll come to terms with, like, okay, I need to create a little structure for this, and they'll be willing to for that small piece, but you have to find those nuggets. So a lot of times with my clients who have young kids, and they're like, I just can't even, Like, I don't even have time to create like a plan, because when that happens, you know, there's a fire that needs to be put out at work, or my kid gets sick, and then I lose the day. So a lot of times I'll just say, you know, like, what's the most important thing, or, you know, what's the thing that's annoying you the most right now that needs to get done? If you had 1 hour, you know, pie in the sky, what would that thing be? And then they'll tell you, and you basically just make sure that they focus on getting that thing done, whatever it is, and let them have the flexibility to do whatever it is else that they want for the rest of the day, or the week or whatnot. And then when they see that thing is done, then you can move on to the next thing. And because they won't, if they want structure, they will ask for it. But otherwise, if they don't, then just focus on the things that that you can control, or that you know would give them the most success towards whatever it is that they want, but give them the buy-in to commit to that thing, otherwise they won't do it. So does that help a little bit? I know it's like hard without a concrete suggestion or concrete example, but it comes down to really chunking things down for them, because they will not, you know, they won't do a to-do list. But they'll tell you what they want to complete, and then you can just hold them accountable to that.
It makes me think of kind of what you were saying, Kara, that, you know, like, what's, I think one thing that, especially within this program, I've kind of been coupled with COVID. What I don't like is I don't like not knowing what's coming. Yeah. Or, and so that gives me anxiety. And yet this whole path is completely uncertain. I'm making it up as I go. And I heard that with Kara's talk of, okay, well, I know I committed to this program and we're doing this, but yet I feel the same way. Like, I'm really drawn. I've already done one-on-ones for 20 years. I could be over them and go to groups, but I think what I believe in the program, I know I need to have this one-on-one structure and be able to communicate that piece. But yet I know then I want to jump and go, well, let me see what will happen if I make a group, but then I lose focus. Mm-hmm. And that whole piece is really, I want to let my creative side go wild, but I'm reining it in. And I think a little bit of it is comes around maybe a theme of expectation.
For sure.
And we're creating really the expectation with this pressure of, you know, I need to make money, but we have to be able to kind of, you know, move towards the things that are really going to be stimulate us. Yeah. Which Kara was articulating very well in her dilemma of, I know I can see these clients, but it's draining me.
Yeah.
So you're always kind of left with a decision to make to go towards the path that will be both the most fulfilling, in sync with your values, you know, give you the focus, and will, as we hold that piece, it will bring the money as we make the sell, because we then are talking about it in our most authentic way. And it's very easy to talk about because we know this is the right path, or,
yeah,
you know, whether it's a group or individual.
Yeah. And this is definitely the same conversation that I've had over the last few years. It's like, do I want to go group? Do I want to do this? Do I want to go pivot completely? Because everything that I'm working kind of hits, but it's, I haven't felt that like boom of like, man, this is exactly where I need to be. And I need to put my eggs in that basket. But I think I was always spreading myself thin. And I think too, that money pressure is a thing. It's the struggle is real, because, you know, if there's an opportunity to earn money in a certain way, like, you want to try to go and go after that. But then also understanding, you know, I had to come to terms a long time ago. You know, my husband is, you know, he works for a company, and, you know, he is definitely carrying the family. And I felt this heavy weight of, you know, wanting to, you know, I used to work a very high paying job, and making the transition to entrepreneurship, it was really trying to figure out, like, the reason that I left was because I wanted to be more present for my kids, as they were growing up. And, But I also wanted to make a lot of money, and it got to the point where, you know, now my kids are, they're still in that place where like they still want to hug me, and they're not like, come on, mom. And I'm like grabbing onto that. So I'm like, you know what, if I don't have time to sell for clients right now or try to get clients right now, then that's fine, because I get to, like, more hugs and kisses from my kids until they don't do that anymore. They're boys and they're like, my mom's icky, or, you know, they get too smelly or something like that. But I had to come to terms with that, because of course, like, I would love to make more money, but when it comes down to it, you have to really think, you know, what is the most important thing for you? And, you know, for Kara, it's like, I just don't want to put my energy towards these people who are paying me to basically be a punching bag. And, you know, I go home totally more drained, or, you know, really thinking about what it is that you want to do and allowing that creativity. And I think, you know, having too much structure really cuts that creative flow, because you might find a really, like, a much easier way to run a community. I mean, one of the creative ideas that I had for my current community is that, you know, I didn't want it to just be my community. I wanted it to be a one-stop shop where people could get support on all areas of life. But I'm only one person, and, you know, productivity is, you know, touches everything, but it's, you know, I can talk about relationships, but I'm not a relationship expert. I can talk about wellness in a sense, but I'm not a wellness expert. Like, I can help, but I can only go so far. I know how to run a business, so I could business coach if I wanted to, but I don't necessarily want to be a business coach. And so how do I do that? And, you know, I came up with this idea of, like, why don't I partner with other people and we all collectively grow a community, so I don't have to just run a community on my own, because how many people run all these communities? And then we can just go in and we can share and we can promote each other, and it makes a lot less time for me. So that was one of the creative ideas that came out of just taking a step back and saying, like, how can I make this, like, run easier? Because ultimately what I want is I want to do less work, or I want to be creating less content and churning out, like, the stuff. I want to be able to look at things from a bigger picture and, you know, create structure and do the things that I'm good at, and then leverage other people who can also, you know, do some of the things that maybe I'm not as good at, and we can all complement each other's strengths and at the same time support each other, which is what I would want to do anyways. So, you know, you can get so much more creativity from when you have that space to think about what that, you know, what could possibly be. But if you already think about your how before you've even jumped into it, sometimes you'll get stuck to that structure, and then you feel like, you know, if it's not, you know, going the way that you planned it to or you expected it to, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed. And so sometimes that's why it's like, it's great to have structure and know what, you know, the bare bones minimum is that you need to do. Like, I have to put on my calendar that I have to brush my teeth every day, even though I kind of know I need to do that. I still forget sometimes, but it's there. That's a non-negotiable, but everything else can kind of be movable depending on what else is more urgent or what brings me more joy in that moment. So, yeah. Any other questions, or is there anything else that I can answer? Thank you guys all for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. Let's make sure there's nothing in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Email. What's it? Reach out. I think I'm at, there was a point where I had a rolling 500 unread emails, and I was like, no. And I haven't checked my email for the last week or so with the holiday week. So now I'm like, oh, I got to clean up. So I get stressed when when there's more than 100 in there. That's my new number.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, I don't see any more questions coming in. Let's see.
Oh, how do you handle spam email? One thing that I use on my email, and it is a paid subscription, but I don't know if I use Google or I use Gmail, and they do a really good job of cleaning out spam. So I will just kind of scroll through and just make sure nothing was in there on accident. But I use a program or a website called Sanebox, which helps it's kind of like a filtering system. But what I like about it is that there, I basically try to unsubscribe from anything that is not relevant to what I want to see. So like, I'm only subscribed to emails of my clients so that I can make sure that they're, you know, if they need support on that, or if I can give them feedback, I can. But everything else, as soon as I, you know, if I buy something and then I get subscribed to like Old Navy newsletter, I unsubscribe right away once I see it come in, because if I, you know, if I don't need it, I want it out. But what I like about Sanebox is they have this option called like the black hole. So if it's like, if you are subscribed to somebody's newsletter and, you know, you want to stay subscribed, but you don't want to just put them in spam, or you don't want to unsubscribe, you can put them in the black hole, and basically it'll collect all of those people's emails and put it in a folder. And then after 7 days, it just deletes them. So you can still go in and see what's, you know, what was there for the last 7 days if they sent something. So you can, but you can also get rid of like all the most relevant stuff. And you can do like a 7-day trial. And if you have so much email and you want to just kind of clean up certain things, you basically, when you move the email to a specific folder, it takes all of those emails that are like that and puts it in that same folder. So instead of just trying to do a Google search and trying to filter out and delete certain emails, it will just, it takes you one move and then it moves everything else. And then it just takes a whole weight off your shoulder. But I can, yeah, I can send you guys a link to that too, because I think I have something that might help to just try it out. And one of my clients actually recommended it to me, and I was like, I don't know if I want to pay for something, but I tried it, and it's very inexpensive for a basic account, and it can already do a lot of that. So I'll put this in the chat just in case. It's called Sanebox, sanebox.com, but this is like I think with that code you can get like either a free month or some sort of something if you'd like. So I use that on there, and you can also snooze emails, but I think Gmail already does that. And you can also just filter. So I'll take all of my business bills, because I get a lot of email notifications for payments that come in, and I just want them all in one folder. So you can basically train those folders that way based on what it is that you want. And then I used to have like a family folder, so any emails from the school. But then I got to the point where I was like, I either want it to be in my inbox, I want it to show up in a secondary inbox so that I can get to it later, or it goes in the black hole to just not have too many folders. So yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, April. It was wonderful. Really appreciate it. Super, super valuable for everyone. Absolutely. So appreciate your time. And
I have some, I'll email you some of my little guides. I have like a values assessment that is just a very simple one. And then I also have a little checklist that has like different ways that you can be a little bit more productive and get things done a little bit faster. So I can share both of those, and I'll just
do it. Oh, that'll be great. Okay. Very good. All right. And do we have your email in case anyone wants to reach out?
Yes. I'll just put it in the chat, but it's april@thecheerfulmind.com. APRYL. The cheerful mind is all one word .com. And yeah. When I'm on top of my email, I will respond right away. if it's taking me a couple of days, then it's usually around the holidays, or if I'm traveling. It's like that I've traveled for the first time this past weekend, so I was like, I finally just a drive to hang out with my family in the neighboring state. But it was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how to travel. So, but yeah, anytime if you guys need anything, I'm more than happy to support in any way. And if you just need to bounce any ideas off of like creating something easier, making a quicker decision, I'm more than happy to help. And it's, you know, anything in life, because, you know, everything impacts everything. So if it's a relationship or a communication question, you know, it's all the same to me. So I'm more than happy to help.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for showing up.
Thank you again so much.
All right.
Okay, everyone, good to see you, and I will see you next time. Bye for now.